Whatever your view of climate change, few people nowadays really doubt that global weather patterns are changing. Northern Hemisphere summers are becoming warmer, the polar ice cap is shrinking, and it's costing companies when they have to adapt to changing conditions. And it's going to get worse, according to climate change guru Lester R. Brown. He's founder and president of the Washington-based Earth Policy Institute. He's just updated his best-selling book, Plan B, Rescuing a Planet Under Stress, in which he outlines his proposal to eradicate poverty and stabilize population growth. This amounts to a budget and a timetable for rescuing our 21st century civilization. So what is Mr. Brown's biggest concern?
Ever since you and I can remember, probably, we've been saying the U.S. with 5% of the world's people is consuming a third or 40% of the Earth's resources. That was true. It is no longer true. China is now consuming more of the basic resources than the United States. If the Chinese economy grows at 8% per year, by 2031, China's 1.45 billion people will be consuming the equivalent of two-thirds of the current world grain harvest. Their paper consumption will be double current world production. There go the world's forests. They will have to pave over an area for roads, highways, parking lots, comparable to the area they now have in rice. What China is teaching us is that the Western economic model, the fossil fuel-based, automobile-centered, throwaway economy, is not going to work for China, nor will it work for India. And in an increasingly integrated global economy, it will not work for the industrial countries either, because we all depend now on the same oil, grain, steel.
But aren't you assuming linear consumption, whereas in fact we're an innovative race, and we do adjust to these changes, so that ironically, what's happening in China could force the pace of slower consumption and of conservation far faster than we would have expected.
We certainly have to hope for that. I would simply point out that there were a number of very innovative earlier solutions whose archaeological sites we now study. The Sumerians, for example, were clearly cutting edge, ahead of anything up until that time.
About 3,000 years ago.
More than that, I think. Maybe closer to 6. The point is, we have to restructure the economy. We need a new economy that will sustain economic progress, one that's powered by renewable sources of energy that are essentially inexhaustible.
But isn't that taking place already?
Not fast enough.
How fast does it have to happen?
How much will the price of oil have to rise before it induces a global economic depression? These are the questions we have to ask. How much water do we have to use? How many wells have to go dry before we can't produce enough food? I mean, there are a whole series of
thresholds.
But
at the moment, the world is producing more food than it can readily consume. Now, I realize there are parts of the world where starvation is a problem, so I've used my words carefully.
We have to look at these issues not just in terms of what the market is now saying, and right now food prices are not, in most of the world, unreasonable. But let me put it this way. If we continue with business as usual, or anything even approaching business as usual, we're in serious trouble, because we're never going to reach the point I was describing for China in 2031. And one of the things that might happen, just a possible scenario, one can sketch out 20 scenarios. We've always been concerned about the effect of rising oil prices on the cost of food production. In a world where agriculture is oil-intensive, rising oil prices means rising food prices. But there is a far greater effect on food prices on the demand side, because we now have the technologies to convert almost everything we eat into automotive fuel in the form of ethanol or biodiesel. And what's happening right now is there's an explosion in investment. But what this means is that we're now setting up a competition between supermarkets and service stations. Up until fairly recently, the only important group of buyers in world agricultural commodity markets were those who were buying for food processors to produce the products end up on supermarket shelves. Now there's a second group. They're buying for fuel producers, and they're buying wheat, corn, soybeans, sugarcane,
maize, whatever. Yeah,
go down the list. And what we're looking at is a growth in demand as a result not only of adding 70 million people a year, but now by the enormous demand for automotive fuel. And this competition between the 800 million of us in the world who own automobiles and the 2 billion of us in the world trying to make it from one day to the next in terms of having enough food, this competition could become a politically very difficult issue to manage at the international level.
As Lester